Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Monday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, the DraftKings Network. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin live from Bar Canada at the D. Kelly fighting off a sneeze here to begin the show. That's never happened before.
Oh, man, I had to do that the other day. Maybe take Kelly on a tight shot. There we go. That's looking good. Give you a little time for the sniffles if you need it.
No, I don't think it's going to happen. It's not going to happen. You can go back to me.
I fought through that for a segment like on Thursday or Friday. It's hilarious.
How was your weekend, by the way? How'd it go?
It was pretty good. We're going to get into the games here.
Yes.
As we always do on Monday, but as you and I were talking about, man, it was a good weekend, but it could have been oh so great.
If the Atlanta Falcons cover, it's a massive weekend. Instead, nothing to really talk about.
And as I was telling you too, thank God the NBA is back, because as you just get bad beats, you know, multiple times a week essentially in the NBA, it really helps you get through some of these NFL weekends that hurt you a lot more earlier in the year.
This is the season that could have been for me. 3-1-1 again in the contest.
Me too.
But it's a season that, like, for instance, on the Megapod, I'm 29-15-1 this year. Just crushing the NFL. But I had 2-0-5s this year that destroyed the whole thing.
Okay, so you went 3-1-1 this week too. What'd you do week one of the quarter?
0-5.
Oh, okay.
That was my second 0-5
right,
of the year.
Right.
Yeah. So it just destroys everything. But anyway, we'll get into it. So if you're new to this, again, only three more of these this year, really, before the postseason. I'm in a cocoon. I don't know the lines for week 16, the upcoming week in the National Football League. It's called Guessing Lines. And in that exercise, and we'll look back at everything that happened yesterday and this weekend, really, Saturday and Sunday, we hope to extract value in the upcoming weekend's lines. And this exercise has been, with the exception of a couple weeks this year, fantastic. First, though, before we get into it, a look at Survivor. Circus Survivor. What happened to the accent right there for a second? Circus Survivor goes from 13 to 10. Oh, the math is easy now, Kelly Bidlin. Remaining intrinsic value, theoretical, of each of the remaining 10 entries, $926,700. $9.267 million, that makes sense. $926,700 per entry. Pouring out a 40 for our own Adam Burke, who was among the three eliminated. Adam, we should give a shout-out to Mark Goldberg from Spooky Express, who had Adam on with him. But a shout-out to them. They had the Titans. They were one of two entries that had the Titans. The other one had the Packers. We are down to 10. Five had the Rams. That was the most strongly picked. Two had the Bengals. One had the Niners. One had the Saints. One had the Brownies. And I would assume, you know what they say about assuming, but I would assume there will be no chop again because the gentleman who didn't want to chop last week is still alive. Poker player, his name Sean Perry, I believe was his name, if I have that correct.
I couldn't remember either. So, Golden Boy, though, is his name in the contest.
Still in it.
So, yes, I'm with you. I think with him advancing, and you're only down to 10, too, so it's not like this went, you know, if the Rams would have gone down, obviously it might be a different story, but down to 10, don't think we should expect a chop. And if there's anything like an announcer's curse with this, Gil, me on air yesterday on Live Bet Sunday with Ben, waxing poetically about how great it was to see Adam Burke make this run and what a great guy and all that. And then
so deserving. I waxed about him a couple weeks ago that I wanted him to win. But oh, well, it's tough, man. And this is the week where there's two happening before we come back on Monday. Right. It's the Christmas quote unquote week in addition to the actual, so what is it, 16A and 16B, if you will, by Circus Survivor parlance. So good luck to everybody. By the way, this time last year, 14 entries were left.
Wait, so how does it work? Is it Thursday, Saturday, Sunday this week is one, and then you have to pick Monday?
There's three games, whatever the Christmas day and the one after Christmas, I believe it is. Is that correct? It's the last three games of the week.
Last three games.
Yeah, okay. Is the Christmas one. Want to start this? Let's do this.
There are three on Christmas. I had to confirm.
Okay, three on Christmas.
Yeah, three on Christmas. There you go. That's what it is.
Those are the ones.
All right, guess the lines. Let's hit it.
Hey, we have an OP. I knew it was coming.
All right,
I missed that scratching at the end there.
Yeah, the wiggle, wiggle, wiggle.
Yeah, all right.
Got that going on.
I like that.
All right, Thursday night, we got a thriller. Saints at Rams.
Well, it means something. 2-7-7 teams. Saints right now tied with the Bucs, although they do not lead technically the NFC South. And the Rams now inside the NFC playoff picture. Is that right? That the Rams are on the inside? Yes, they are. They're in the 7-hole right now in the NFC. Okay, yesterday, the Saints beat the Giants, stopping the Giants train, if you will. Giants started out with a 56-yard Randy Bullock field goal on the game's opening drive, but then he hurt his hamstring on the ensuing kickoff. Then after a trade of three and outs, New Orleans went 68 yards, 11 plays. Carter Keith Kirkwood for 7-7-3 New Orleans. Late first quarter, the Giants would add a field goal before the end of the half. But it was 7-6 New Orleans.
Field goal by the punter, which was always Matt Brown's problem.
Field goal by Jamie Gillen, that's correct. 40-yard field goal. The total yards at the half, 112-99 New Orleans. Real barn burner. third quarter, New Orleans opening drive, 10 plays, 68 yards. Carter Juwan Johnson for 23, 14-6 Saints. Then after a Giants three and out, Groupe would add a 50-yard field goal, 17-6 Saints. After another Giants three and out, 65 yards and 11 plays, carded Jimmy Graham. Hey, there he is. From one out, 24-6. From there on out, it was really just a Giants turnover on downs twice. That would be the ballgame. Carr, 23 of 28 for 218. Three touchdowns, no picks, and one sack. Come on, Giants. You just got to lose a couple more, and then the alternate season win total under will cash. The Rams beat Washington yesterday to get to 7-7. Haversick, 22-yard field goal to start out the festivities after a Washington 3-and-out. 3-0 Rams. Then this was the real story of the first half. The Rams should have blown Washington off the field, but instead, Washington matriculated 4th-and-1 at the Rams 12. Howell pass deflected, incomplete. Stopped him on downs, 36 seconds left in the first quarter. Then the Rams matriculated, but 1st-and-10 at the Washington 21. Kyren Williams, tackled by Cody Barton. He fumbles, recovered by Kendall Fuller. After another Washington 3-and-out, Rams go 53 yards, 10 plays. Kyren in from 1, 10-0 Rams, 2:19 left in the second quarter. And then after another Washington 3-and-out, the Rams 2nd-and-4 at the Washington 45. Kyren fumbles again. Benjamin St. Juiced on the hit. Cameron Curl on the recovery.
Good times for those of us holding an over 48.5 ticket.
Oh, it gets even better for you. would get even better.
Yep.
Washington, another 3-and-out. Terrible snap by Cameron Cheeseman. Tress Way, the punter, couldn't handle it. Rams were set up at Washington, deep in Washington territory with 34 seconds left, second quarter. That led to a Haversick 27-yard field goal. 13-0 Rams at the half. You should have had way more points. Rams led in total yards 242-83 at the half. It was 14-3 in first downs, but those minus two in turnovers were killing you. Rams second play, third quarter. Stafford a cup for 62. 20-0 Rams. Later, Washington short field, 48 yards, 7 plays. Howell to Samuel from 19 out, 20-7 Rams. 6:24 left, third quarter. Then the Rams punt after taking a delay when it was 4th-and-3 at the Washington 42. I'm sure you loved that with 1:58 left in the third quarter. Looking at it through the prism of your over. Then Washington 3-and-out again. Almost the most amazing catch you'll ever see by Terry McLaurin, but not to be. Ruled incomplete. And then the Rams, 5 plays, 51 yards. Stafford to DeMarcus Robinson from 23 out. Kyren in for the two-point conversion. 28-7 Rams, 13:25 to go. The Rams were coasting, and your over still had a shot. First play, next drive. Howell picked by John Johnson, the third. Then Haversick misses a 43-yard field goal. Ugh. Jacoby Brissett in. Ladies and gentlemen, at that moment, Terry McLaurin's 2023 season began.
That's right. My guy, Jacoby Brissett in the game.
Skins go 67 yards, 5 plays. Brissett to McLaurin for 29.
Bam.
28-14. Rams 7:17 to go. Then after a Rams 3-and-out, Brissett to McLaurin for 16. To McLaurin for 48. Sets up Washington at the Rams 1 with 4:47 to go in the game. Let me repeat that. Down 14, Washington set up at the Rams 1 with 4:47 to go.
Sure, yep. This is easy. We all know what to do here, Gil.
Do you know how long it took them to score that touchdown, that 1 yard?
Like 8 plays?
3 minutes and 1 second. On 7 plays, technically, really 9 because there were 2 PIs.
Oh, there you go, yeah.
Finally, Brissett to Samuel from 3 out. It literally was, like, I have the sequence later when we talk about Washington, but it was just this unbelievable sequence where Washington showed no urgency whatsoever. Finally, they score with 1:46 to go. Now you're down 8. Ladies and gentlemen, Ron Rivera, Brissett Samuel from 3 out. 4th and goal, by the way, on their second set of 4 downs. Then Ron Rivera, who has not gotten the 8-6 memo.
Like, did you not just watch Monday Night Football? Like, you missed it a whole 6 days before this game.
Ron Rivera doesn't watch TV. He hasn't gotten the 8-6 analytics memo. So instead of going for 2, he decides to kick the PAT. Which for you, and you're 48 at that point.
Oh, I'm back here cheering. Way to go, Rowboat Ron.
Poetry then ensues.
Roll out the field goal unit.
Because the low snap happens. The kick is blocked. Total poetry, and you're still at 48. Then, with all 3 timeouts, Ron Rivera decides, I'm going to kick the onside kick here.
Oh, you got to.
Anyway, they never get the ball back either way. 28-20, Rams win. The unders cash. You lose, you're over.
Oh, and brutal.
The total and the spread, yes, both in play on that final sequence. Ron Rivera, ladies and gentlemen. By the way, people who are like, oh, he'll never – it's not a hot take that Ron Rivera is going to get fired, ladies and gentlemen. Anybody you hear saying that it's a hot take, everybody knows. It's already out there. The second the season ends, he's fired. It's not a thing.
I love those kind of hot takes.
Yeah. It's like, okay, yeah, it's great. Everybody – Josh Harris is almost talking about it outwardly. Stafford, 25 of 33 for 258, 2 touchdowns, no picks. He was sacked 3 times. Kyren Williams, 27 for 152 and a touch, but 2 fumbles. Cup, 8 for 111 and a touchdown. They outgained Washington, 445 to 297. Puka Nacua, last 3 games, Kelly, if he averages 5.5 catches – and 104 yards,
yeah,
he sets the rookie records for both catches and yards. 5.5 and 104.
Oh, it sounds like a rookie of the year candidate.
Yeah, not so much, apparently. what is it, Saints at Rams? Rams by 4.
Ding, 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 nailed it.
Yeah.
We are 4 across the board.
Because the Saints aren't good enough to keep it to 3 on that. So Rams,
yeah, they're
4.
Not. This is really perfect number because this is, I would only be interested in the Rams here, but not at more.
If Puka set both records and C.J. Stroud didn't show up for the last 3 games, is C.J. Stroud still the rookie of the year?
No, I'm going to Nacua then.
By the way, Jahmyr Gibbs also 20-1, same number as Puka. We'll come back, more guessing lines. Looking for value in Week 16. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because, God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here are 3 reasons Zyn is America's number one nicotine pouch. We use food-grade ingredients. We have a wide selection of varieties, and they all come in 2 strengths. Find Zyn at a store near you.
Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Looking a bit smarter? Then VSiN has the perfect holiday gift for you. Sign up on our holiday special today and get VSiN Pro access to everything we do from now through May 1st for only $79. May 1st. Sign up today, get unlimited access to daily best bets, exclusive betting splits, premium analysis, and 24/7 video, plus all our betting guides and best bets for our college bowl games, all of them, the Super Bowl and March Madness. Don't miss out on this limited-time holiday offer. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up on our holiday special now. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. Let me just ask you a question before we get back into these games, Kelly. I'm going to give you the favorite now for all seven NFL awards categories.
Okay.
I don't want to know if you think they're not going to win or not. I just want you to tell me what odds you think are the most outlandish.
Okay.
Purdy now, Brock Purdy, minus 190 for MVP. These are all DraftKings numbers. Stroud, minus 10,000 Offensive Rookie of the Year. Jalen Carter, minus 1,600 Defensive Rookie of the Year. Christian McCaffrey, minus 150 for Offensive Player of the Year. Micah Parsons, minus 110 Defensive Player of the Year. Dan Campbell, plus 200. 2-1. Coach of the Year, DeMar Hamlin, minus 700. What is the most outlandish number? Not that they might not win, but what number do you think is the most out of whack?
I still think it's Dan Campbell.
It's either Campbell or Hamlin, right? Based on our conversation with
It's Campbell
with shots. It's Campbell or Hamlin.
I was thinking about going that way, but I didn't want to bring it up again.
Yeah,
entirely.
Just didn't want to talk about it. Shane Steichen, by the way, and D'Amico Ryans, both at plus 350, knocking at the dough.
You are right. It is those two, though. It is. I don't care that that Lions win was great Saturday night. We're going to get to it. We're going to talk about that. That was awesome for us. We both had bets on it, but. I still don't understand the 2-1 with all these other guys that you can make a case for.
Let's go to Sunday. What do we got?
We're on to Saturday.
Oh, Saturday, baby. Let's go.
On Saturday this week, too. Two on Saturday. 1:30 Pacific time, 4:30 Eastern. Bengals at the Steelers.
Oh, Bengals consecutive Saturdays. Mm-hmm. Pittsburgh consecutive Saturdays. The 8-6 Bengals and the 7-7 Steelers. Bengals coming off an incredible win against the Vikings on Saturday. It was 7-3 Minnesota. We'll pick it up there second quarter. Browning misses a wide-open Charlie Jones deep. First missed opportunity for the Bengals right there. Minnesota then matriculated. 3rd and 9 at the Cincinnati 14. Mullins picked by Mike Hilton with 4:06 left in the second quarter. And then after a Cincinnati punt, Minnesota matriculated again. 3rd and 7 at the Cincinnati 22. Mullins picked by E.J. Hill. And so it's still 7-3 Minnesota at the half. They led in total yards 188 to 101, but they were -2 in turnovers. Just sounded just like the game we just described with the Rams. But in this case, the Vikings couldn't hold it. By the way, it was the whole Nick Mullins experience, right? Like you were like, oh, he's pretty good. He's pretty good. Oh, no, he's not good.
Yeah, right. Yep.
Third quarter, Minnesota, 8 plays, 93 yards. Mullins to Addison for 37. Addison was everywhere in this game. 14-3 Vikings, 10:46 left third quarter. Then Cincinnati, 2nd and 7 at their own 40. Browning picked by a Caleb Evans. That led to a Joseph field goal, 17-3 Minnesota. 4:32 left in the third quarter. All right. You're thinking Minnesota's rolling. Until they weren't. Cincinnati then. Browning wakes up. 8 plays, 75 yards. Browning to Higgins for 13. First play of the fourth quarter, 17-10 Minnesota. Then a Minnesota 3-and-out. Then 11 plays, 62 yards for the Bengals. Mixing in from 1 on 4th and goal. We're tied at 17 with 7:46 to go. And then right after that, 2nd and 10 at their own 44. Mullins looks like it's a pick 6 to Jermaine Pratt, but nullified by Trey Hendrickson being offside. And instead the Vikings take advantage. They matriculate Mullins to Addison from 1 out, 24-17 Vikings, 3:48 to go. Well, it looks like the Vikings are going to win it after all. No. 10 play, 75-yard drive for the Bengals. Browning to Higgins for 21. What a catch. What a touchdown. 24 apiece, 39 seconds to go in this ball game. Then OT. That's where it would go. Cincinnati, 3-and-out. Blatant PI uncalled on third down, deep intended for Higgins. Then Minnesota, 3rd and 1 at the Cincinnati 41, stuffed on a sneak attempt. And then 4th and inches, Mullins stuffed again. Brutal. Mm-hmm. Absolutely brutal, where he did a Fred Flintstone thing with his legs. You know when Fred Flintstone drives the car?
Yeah, he has to warm up.
That was it. Didn't get there. Cincinnati takes over, 6:12 to go, 3rd and 9 at their own 43. Browning to Boyd for 44, sets up McPherson, 29-yard field goal. Good! Bengals win it 27-24. That's a push for everybody, pretty much. Let me just review that game real quick in one sentence. 17-3 lead for the Vikings. They blow it. 24-17 lead. They blow it. Two quarterback sneaks to get 1 yard. They blow it. Total disaster.
Yeah, that is rough. Because, like you said, Addison, man, he had a great game. Finally looked like he was coming on, you know, as a wide receiver this year. Chandler had a big game.
Chandler had a huge game. Browning ended up 29-42 for 324 for the Bengals. Two touchdowns, one pick, and sack four times. Bengals in the thick of it. Steelers not in the thick of it right now. Steelers beating the Colts 6-0. We'll pick it up there. Boswell missed the PAT. That's why it's 6-0. Then Indianapolis 3-and-out. Rigoberto Sanchez, punt blocked by Connor Haywood, recovered by Nick Herbig at the 1. After Harris lost four yards, story of Najee's career here. Deontay from 5 out, 13-0 Steelers, 14:07 left second quarter. And then from there, Kelly, all Colts. Big Minshew to Pittman Jr., 42-yard pickup on 3rd and 5 at the Pittsburgh 49. That set up a Minshew to Moss, 16-yard touchdown pass, 13-7. Pittsburgh, 11:21 left second quarter. Then a 1st and 11 for Pittsburgh at the Indy 45. Trubisky picked by Nick Cross. Indianapolis matriculates. But they get stuff. 3rd and goal at the 1, incomplete, overthrown to Ogletree. And then remember, 4th and goal from the 1, Minshew to DJ Montgomery just flat out drops it. So you're like, okay, wait a minute. Maybe the Pittsburgh Magic Beans thing is happening with Tomlin. But Pittsburgh punts, and then Indianapolis starts at their own 26 with 44 seconds left in the half. They go 77 yards in 22 seconds, three plays, to Montgomery for 34, a 26-yard PI, incomplete to Montgomery, and then Montgomery for 14 yards, touchdown. So the Colts led by 1 at the half. After an Indianapolis 3-and-out, Pittsburgh 1st and 10 at their own 10. Najee hit by E.J. Speedy, fumbles, recovered by Julian Blackman. That led to a Minshew to Ali Cox touchdown from 18 yards out, 21-13. Then after a Pittsburgh 3-and-out, Indianapolis 4th and 1 at the Pittsburgh 11. They settle. You know, this is also the difference in coaching, right? Steichen is like, okay, we're up 8. It's 4th and 1 at the 11. Let me just kick a field goal here to go up 11. I'm not allergic to field goals. 24-13 Colts. Contrast that with the next Pittsburgh drive, where instead of trying to kick a 57-yard field goal from Boswell to cut it to a one-score game, Tomlin, with 3:27 left in the third quarter, is like, yeah, just punt it.
What the hell was that? Especially when Boswell ran out onto the field?
Boswell couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
Indianapolis will get another Matt Gay field goal to make it 27-13. And then Trubisky, this 1st and 10 at the Indianapolis 49. They're down 14. Horrific pick to Julian Blackman. Matt Gay would doink a 43-yard field goal after that. Mason Rudolph would come in the game. They're still down 2 scores. 4 and out with Mason Rudolph. Matt Gay would add another field goal, 30-13. That's your ball game. Indianapolis outgains Pittsburgh, 372-216. Pittsburgh was -3 in turnovers. That led to +7 net Indianapolis points. Trubisky, 16 of 23 for 169. 1 touchdown, 2 picks, 3 sacks, 2 carries for 1 yard, and a touchdown. Cincinnati at Pittsburgh. Split the difference between the 3 and the pick. I'm Cincinnati by 1.5.
Yep, pretty close. It is Bengals 2.5 at DraftKings, 2 to 2.5 pretty much everywhere in the market.
I remember your pre-flop bets this season. You were under on Pittsburgh on lots of stuff.
Under 9 wins and under 7.5 still alive, Gil.
They were 7-4. And they had home games, I believe it was against Arizona and New England, and they lost them both.
Yep.
And now, not only are your bets all in play, but Mike Tomlin's stat that we all joke about, because it's like, oh, I've never heard that before, which we've heard a million times. For that to remain intact, meaning to never have a losing season, the Steelers have to go 1-1-1 the rest of the way. Well, they better get that 1 in the win column in this one, because the other two are road games at Seattle and at Baltimore. And unless Baltimore doesn't have anything to play for, chalk that one up as a loss, we're going to assume. You can't really assume anything in this league, but
yeah,
you get the idea.
Yeah, you can't. And then, I mean, Seattle, I'm trying to project what their health is going to look like next week when we don't even know about, 8 hours from now what it's going to look like. Yeah, maybe. Maybe. I'm confident on the under 9. I'm confident on that one, Gil.
Cincinnati right now in playoff position, Pittsburgh not. By the way, you bring up tonight's game. We have no idea who's playing quarterback for either team
tonight.
Seahawks and Eagles.
And really weird, I mean, I'm sure everybody caught it over the weekend, but I mean, I thought Geno was scaling up at the end of last week, and now it sounds like he is very questionable, like maybe even unlikely to go for Seattle. And then Jalen Hurts, we got the news yesterday morning, was going to be put on his own plane to go up to Seattle because of the illness that he is going through, and it got worse over the weekend. A little bit more positive reports coming out this morning sounded like he's going to probably try to go here, but I mean, right now, we don't know who's playing quarterback for either one of these teams.
Right now, Eagles favored by 3.5 or 3, depending on where you're looking. Total at 45, but yeah, no starting quarterback known. By the way, I heard a ridiculous trivia question, which I'd like you to ponder without Googling.
Okay.
It's the one NFL team whose mascot faces left. Whose mascot faces left.
All right.
Coming back, more Guessing Lines, Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rock the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James. LeBron James.
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin live from Bar Canada at the D. By the way, I didn't mean mascot. I meant logo, of course, right? Which NFL team's logo faces left? And it's the only one. And Kelly is just going nuts trying to figure this out.
It's a really good one because you got to think through like all the different logos and how many of them are just like face forward, which is a lot of them.
Well, it's obviously not the Cowboy star, right? It's
right.
Like one
or like
that has
the Steelers emblem,
correct.
Right? You know, or even like Chicago Bears, right? The bear just faces forward.
What's so funny about it is we watch thousands upon tens of millions of hours of football.
Yeah.
These things stare at us at all time, but we don't process them at all.
Okay, you heard me say it about three times during the break. I'm pretty confident it's a bird. So
okay.
I think it's a bird.
Okay.
I also think because you led me into the question after we brought up Monday Night Football, there's a good chance it has to do with one of those birds. So I'm going to go with the Philadelphia Eagles.
Got it.
Really?
Yes. Eagles, the only one that faces left.
Bam! I was gonna go.
I don't know why that is, by the way. Why are they the only ones that decided to face that direction? I have no idea.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Now, did they update? They updated the logo, right? When the team like updated uniforms?
Yes. So that's a good.
So they didn't stick as traditional. Maybe they thought they were being cool and new wave or whatever.
Let's do some games. You got it. Well done. Good deductive reasoning on your part.
Right now. Yeah,
well done.
I thought it had to be a bird. All right. Let's go Saturday night. Bills at Chargers.
Bills
again, 8 Eastern Saturday night.
The 8-6 Bills crushing the Cowboys yesterday at the 5-9 Chargers. The Bills still on the outside looking in, but again, the proverbial team no one wants to play in the playoffs. Buffalo opening drive yesterday. I think this gets lost in this game against the Cowboys. 12 plays, 75 yards, extended by a roughing the passer call on DeMarcus Lawrence on 3rd and 4 at the 6, which would have forced a field goal try had that not happened. Instead, new set of downs, Murray in from 2, 7-0 Buffalo. Then after a Dallas punt and a Buffalo 3-and-out, Dallas 3-and-out, Buffalo punts, but roughing the kicker on Sam Williams extends the drive. 6 plays later, Allen to James Cook from 18 out, 14-0. So really it could have been 3-0 at that point. Instead it's 14-0 Buffalo. 12:52 left in the second quarter. Aubrey does get a 32-yard field goal. He never misses, has never missed. 14-3 Buffalo, 7:13 left in the second quarter. Then 2nd and 6 at the Buffalo 40. Allen to Diggs for 7. Remember, though, he actually fumbled. But there's no challenge, even though Dallas recovered, and Buffalo got the next playoff quick. So they took advantage. They matriculated Allen in from 1, completing an 11-play, 76-yard drive, 21-3 Buffalo. So you could argue that 17 Buffalo points, because of mistakes on the Cowboys' part, happened.
Yep.
Just because of Cowboys' mistakes. Buffalo, by the way, 210-89 total yards advantage in the first half. Dak was 6 of 13 for 43. Would be MVP candidate, not so much anymore. Third quarter, after Dallas punt, long Buffalo drive where James Cook dropped a wide open pass, dropped a wide open would be touchdown pass from Allen on 3rd and goal from 5. They settled for a Bass 23-yard field goal that made it 24-3. But then another Dallas 3-and-out. Buffalo 67-yard 6 plays. Cook in from 24, 31-3 with 12:30 to go. Then Dallas 4th and 5 at their own 48. Dak picked by Christian Benford. Dallas would add a garbage touchdown to make it 31-10 with 2:45 to go. And then they don't bother onside kicking, which was strange because you still had all your starters in down 28. Like, let's risk injury. And then once we score the touchdown, let's not even bother onside kicking. It was a little weird. Well, it's like you wanted them to get practice or something. Josh Allen, 7 completed forward passes. 7 of 15 for 94, because he didn't need to.
Yeah.
1 touchdown, no picks. He was sacked once. 8 carries for 24 yards and a touchdown. James Cook, though, my God.
Oh,
25 for 179 and a touchdown. 2 catches for 42 and a touchdown. They outgained Dallas 351 to 195. 266 to 89 on the ground. Buffalo at the Chargers in Easton Stick. Minus 10.5?
You are light.
Am I? Wow. I thought I was, like, Bills, being frisky.
14 at DraftKings. It is 13.5 most other
places. You're probably right. It should be that high. I mean, now that I think about it, right?
Yeah.
I'm like, watch me, 10.5. All right. Yeah. That's probably right.
The dynamic MVP markets, as we brought up last week, man, was that incredible to watch during those games yesterday. The only thing, kind of like as you mentioned about Josh Allen at the end of this game, I don't think we should be crushing Dak too much either, though, this week, just because he almost never had a chance. He barely had the ball first half.
Well,
and then it was like he was so far behind.
I'll read some Cleve TA stats about Dak going into tough defenses. It doesn't look good for Dak.
Yeah, that's true. Next. Okay, Sunday morning we're on to now. So Sunday early window, Colts at Falcons.
Minshew in that Colts win against the Steelers on Saturday was 18 of 28 for 215, 3 touchdowns, no picks, a sack 3 times. And again, Indianapolis outgained Pittsburgh 372 to 216. Indy was plus 3 in turnovers, though, led to plus 7 net Indianapolis points. Atlanta loses to the Panthers. It's the 8-6 Colts against the 6-8 Panthers, by the way. The 6-8 Falcons, pardon me. The Falcons, both teams against the Panthers now. Falcons, both teams started the game with 4th down stops of opposing offenses. They traded 3 and outs, then an Atlanta punt, then a Carolina 3 and out, then Atlanta 3 and out. You get the idea. Punt, 3 and outs, whatever. Finally, Atlanta, Ritter to Jonnu for 56. 2 plays later, Ritter to Patterson from 2 out. 7-0 Falcons, 4:49 left in the second quarter in a downpour. An absolute deluge. Biblical. Pinheiro would add a field goal before the half. 7-3 Atlanta. Then after a trade of punts in the third quarter and another Carolina punt, Atlanta 3rd and 10 at their own 20. And here's where it just went to crap for those of us who had the Falcons. Bijan tackled by Troy Hill. He fumbles. The only thing you have to do, Falcons, is not make mistakes. Instead, he fumbles.
Yeah.
Brian Burns recovers. That led to a Pinheiro 25-yard field goal. 7-6 Atlanta, 13:32 to go. Then Atlanta matriculates. 2nd and 10 at the Carolina 18. Ritter picked by Xavier Woods.
Ugh.
Terrible pass. 7:35 to go. if there's one thing Carolina has been able to do this year, which you can put a check in the positive column, it's that every once in a while they have this really ridiculous long, like 18-play drive. Mm-hmm. Well, guess what? That's exactly what they did. Atlanta would never see the ball again. Carolina starts at their own 5, 17-play drive. Pinheiro, 23-yard field goal to win it, 9-7. Ritter, 12 of 20 for 152 in defeat. The Falcons minus 2 in turnovers. That led to plus 6 net Carolina points. That's all they needed, 9-7. I'll say Indianapolis split the difference between the 3 and the pick 'em, minus 1.5 on the road.
Yeah, they are 2. DraftKings right now, it is anywhere between 1.5 and 2 pretty much everywhere.
Let's do one more.
All right, let's do one more. Early window on Sunday, Seahawks at Titans.
6-7 Seahawks who play tonight, sight unseen. We don't know who the starter is. At Tennessee. Tennessee coming off that unbelievable win against the Dolphins. Well, guess what, Tennessee? You gave one right back. After a Houston 3-and-out against Tennessee, Tennessee goes 83 yards, 11 plays. Levis in from 1-6-0. Tennessee. Folk missed the PAT. After a trade of punts, Houston 3rd-and-10 at their own 40. Keenum, Case Keenum getting the start in this game. Picked by Elijah Molden, 45 yards to the hizzy. 13-0 Tennessee, and everybody in Survivor who had them, including our own Adam Burke, just loving it. 13-0. But then after a trade of punts, Fairbairn, 23-yard field goal, 13-3 at the half. Okay, no big deal. After a Tennessee punt to start the third quarter, Fairbairn, 27-yard field goal, 13-6 Tennessee, 6:27 left in the third quarter. Okay, no big deal. Then after another Tennessee 3-and-out, Fairbairn, 53-yard field goal, 13-9 Tennessee. Uh-oh, 2:42 left third quarter. Folk would get a field goal to make it 16-9. So Tennessee is up a touchdown. 7:22 to go. Houston matriculates. 2nd-and-10 of the Tennessee 18. Poor decision by Keenum. Looks like it's going to be picked, snatched by Schultz from Roger McCreary's hands for a 1st-and-goal. Unbelievable play by Schultz. 3 plays later, Keenum to Noah Brown from 3 out. Are you kidding me? We're tied at 16 with 3:03 to go. Teams trade punts. Tennessee would get the ball back with 45 seconds to go, but we go to overtime. Overtime, Tennessee punt, Houston 3-and-out. Tennessee starts at their own 37 with 4:15 to go. 3rd-and-8 at their own 49 with 2 minutes to go. Levis sacked by Desmond King. He got hurt. They wouldn't show the replay. They have to punt. Houston with their own, starts at their own 20 with 1:43 to go in overtime. Keenum under duress to Singletary for 41. Then after a would-be Singletary touchdown run that was nullified by a hold, Fairbairn from 54, good. Houston 19, Tennessee 16. Billy Levi, 17 of 26 in defeat for 199. No touchdowns, one pick, and he was sacked 7 times. 4 carries for 25 and a touchdown. They were outgained by Houston, 340 to 204. Whew. Seattle minus 3, I guess, as a placeholder, but I have no idea.
Yeah, it's 2.5 everywhere, which is interesting.
At Tennessee.
I mean, this is
yeah.
Nothing I'm doing with this before tonight, but 2.5 feels a little light, actually, to me. If Geno's going to go, I actually think this will probably be a Seattle play for me, but we'll
just so tough to know before a game tonight.
I mean, you got to wait. Yeah. On this one tonight, we have no idea what's going on. So
Ryan McDowell, Derrick Henry, first player in NFL history to have at least 20 touches in a game and produce less than 15 yards from scrimmage.
Incredible.
Storied Hall of Fame career. And he has to have that little note attached.
Yeah, they got to get him out of Tennessee. That's for sure.
Kind of on the downside already, you think? I mean, running backs, shelf life, right? I don't love anything yet. We'll come back. More guessing lines. Week 16 in the National Football League. It's a numbers game at VSiN.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if... No. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storr on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin. Are the Pistons ever going to win again, Kelly? Ever?
Yes, they will win.
Stepping out on a limb.
That's right. They will win.
What, they lost 23 in a row now, is it? What is it?
Oh, I think it's more than that.
Is it?
Yeah, I think so.
And they're getting crushed in every game.
They really are. It's unfortunate because there's some pieces there.
One of the great primetime action moments.
2-24 right now. I think you're right. 23
in a row. One of the great primetime action moments. May it rest in peace, that show. Is when Kelly and Matt Brown, this is 2 years ago.
Yeah, this is like right on track for this season.
Like, went on for like 3 minutes about the Pistons and how finally at the end of this 3 minutes, I was expecting them to say something. They're like, I think within 2 years, they're going to make the playoffs. Even that.
I actually called out.
You guys like, really? That's what you came up with after those 3 minutes? What a bold thing.
Feels like sitting there waiting for this conversation to be over.
When is it going
to
end?
We made a prediction for 3 years down the line.
All right, we have an answer to the Eagles, why the Eagles face left. From Primetime, at Primetime_Bets. He says, I think the Eagles face left because the feathers make the letter E for Eagles. Jay Buckley, the flare off the Eagles' head vaguely resembles an E. Have a great day from your friends in New Hampshire. Thank you, Jay. And Danny Rode, he says, look at the Eagles logo just one more time. The E exists along the right-hand side as the wings spread. I guess so.
I guess so in the sense of, like, you know when someone's like, hey, look at that cloud. Doesn't it look like a dog? And you're like,
exactly.
I guess so. Same thing.
You go to the dispensary, and then afterwards that looks like an E.
Yeah. If the Eagles were really trying to make this look like an E, then I've missed the point of this for however long since they changed this logo.
Totally.
Like, have you ever once thought that?
No, not once. There's a lot of logos, like in corporate America, where there's stuff hidden in that I've not been aware of. Like, you know, like in FedEx, there's an arrow.
Someone had to point that
out to me, but that's clear and obvious.
Okay, so this is the only other one I came up with. Is the sword facing right, and so it's not the flag facing left?
Might have to say an animal facing left. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because it's a flag, yeah.
I mean, you could argue this is just the sword is facing right, right? So the flag drags behind it.
The E's pretty lame, though, on the right of the Eagles one.
If that's the actual case, then I have missed it entirely since they changed that logo, like in 1996.
Doesn't the Milwaukee Brewers logo have some hidden thing as well? Like MBs in there or something like that?
Oh, I don't know. Yeah. But the Golden Knights do, right? Like, it took me, like,
what?
3 years.
They do?
If I'm thinking about this right, I got to look at their...
I can't believe we're doing this. Let's do a couple games.
Yeah. The helmet's a V with the Golden Knights. It took me, like, 2 years to figure that out.
The helmet's a V. I see that, clearly.
Yeah, that took me forever to figure out.
Yeah. That one for sure. That's the actual logo. All right, what's next?
Oh, man. All right, where the heck did we leave off? Early window, Lions at Vikings.
Detroit 10-4, Vikings 7-7. Vikings still on the inside of the playoff picture. Detroit crushes Denver. And again, this is one of the things that we got right last week, which is all this weird love for the Broncos and Sean Payton. Y'all know it was plus 12 in turnover differential, right? For those four games, the last four of their five-game winning streak, and they just beat Easton Stick. People really want to catapult this team, and they do have an easy schedule down the road, so it still could happen for the postseason. But Detroit crushed them. 8 plays, 80 yards. Goff to Laporta for 19. All Laporta. 7-0 Detroit. 12:31 left second quarter. After a Denver 3-and-out, Detroit 6 plays, 61 yards. Goff to Gibbs from 9-out. 14-0 Lions. 8:15 left second quarter. After another Denver punt, Detroit 11 plays, 81 yards. Goff to St. Brown for 15. 21-0 Detroit at the half. Halftime stats: 279-75 in total yardage in favor of the Lions. 17-4 in first downs. Third quarter, then Denver wakes up. 10 plays, 75 yards. Wilson to Little Jordan Humphrey. You name your kid Little Jordan, Kelly. Yep. From 3-out, 21-7 Denver. 10:34 left third quarter. But the Lions answered right back. 8 plays, 75 yards. Goff to Laporta from 3, 28-7, 7:01 left of the third quarter. Then the sequence of the game, and again, keep in mind, I'm on Detroit, and this is ridiculous to watch. Denver matriculates, 2nd and goal at the 9. Wilson to McLaughlin ruled that the ball didn't cross the plane. It might have, but I'm willing to say it didn't. 3rd and goal at the doorstep.
This has been the one sticking point between me and Gil all year. This rule in the NFL.
We have a difference in
almost texted you about this.
Kelly and I see the plane differently. Then 3rd and goal at the doorstep. Javonte Williams is ruled down short. He was clearly in. 4th and goal, a phantom offside called on Denver. And Peyton decides to kick it to cut the lead from 21 to 18. Peyton is so enraged at this point that he's like, just kick the field goal. He's screaming at Russell Wilson.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is when he's screaming at Russ.
Like,
dude,
what are you screaming at Russell Wilson for? Why are you kicking the field goal? 28 to 10, 43 seconds left in the third quarter. By the way, I also disagreed with Gene Steratore that thought the second down play was a touchdown and the third down play might not have been.
Agreed.
I saw it the opposite.
I saw it a little bit the opposite, too. I'm actually surprised to hear, though, you were so strong on it because this is why I almost texted you. Because I thought in my mind, I said, I think both of those are touchdowns, but I'm not sure, and I'm okay with both of these.
I was okay with one of them, but the second one, to the third down play, was such a touchdown.
In my mind, I was like, I'm okay with both these not being touchdowns, but I'm like, I bet you Gil doesn't think they're touchdowns, but ones that I saw earlier in the year were way more obvious than either one of these.
Anyway, Detroit scored, Gibbs from 12 to make it 35-10. Then Denver down 25 with 11:04 to go. Sean Payton decided to punt. 4th and 10 at their own 44.
Okay.
Denver would score. Well, hold on. Denver, after a P. Ryan gain, 12 on 4th and 1. Wilson in from 1, 35-17. But then Detroit would answer again, 42-17. Laporta's 3rd touchdown of the game from 10 out. That would be it. 448 to 287 total yards advantage for Detroit. Goff, 24 of 34 for 278. 5 touchdowns. 5. No picks. 2 sacks. Gibbs, 11 for 100 and a touchdown on the ground. 2 catches for 8 yards and a touchdown. St. Brown, 7 for 112 and a touchdown. Laporta, 5 of 56 and 3 touchdowns. And Minnesota, by the way, who they're playing, in defeat against the Bengals. Mullins ended up 26 of 33 for 303, 2 touchdowns, 2 horrible picks, 3 sacks. Chandler, 23 for 132 and a touchdown. We touched on him earlier. And Addison, 6 for 111 and 2 touchdowns. I will say Detroit minus 2.5, not quite the 3.
Yeah, this is 3.5, just ticked up to it. DraftKings, it is 3 basically everywhere else. If you're interested in getting in this one now, shop around. There are 3s, but there are 3s 105 up to 125 out there.
Next.
All right. Next up, we have the... Why do I keep losing my place? Oh, my gosh. Commanders and Jets.
You got one job here. 4-10 commodes. 5-9 Jets. Parles and I talked about this yesterday. We texted. We both agree the Jets have to be favorites here. Washington, Howell in defeat, 11 for 26 for 102, 1 touchdown, 1 pick. He was sacked once. Brissett in relief, 8 of 10 for 124, 2 touchdowns, no picks, no sacks. Terry McLaurin became incomparable again as soon as Jacoby Brissett entered the game, 6 for 141 and a touchdown. They were outgained by the Rams, 445 to 297. And again, that sequence from 447 to 146, no gain, offensive PI, 4-yard pass, defensive PI, 2-yard rush, incomplete, touchdown. Took 3 minutes and 1 second off the clock, and then they got the extra point blocked. Why are you going for the extra point? The Jets get crushed by the Dolphins. Tyreek ruled out before this game. Waddle got hurt on the game's opening drive. You thought they'd be without both, but he would return. first sequence after a Miami punt. Jets first and 10 at their own 24. Wilson sacked by Bradley Chubb and Christian Wilkins. He fumbles. Zach Zeeler recovers. Three plays later, Mostert in from two. 7-0 Miami. His 19th touchdown of the season, and the route was on. Because the Jets then down seven in punt formation decide to snap to the up back Ashton Davis, stuffed for a 1 yard loss on 4th and 4 at their own 42. That would set up a Sanders field goal to make it 10-0. Tradings of three and outs and stuff. Miami would end up 1st and 10 at their own 40. Two at a Waddle for 60, 17-0. 7:42 left in the second quarter. At that point, it was 132 to minus one in total yards. Wilson was 3 of 7 for 21. Miami would then go 80 yards and 11 plays after a Jets punt. Mostert in from 1, 24-0. Late second quarter, Trevor Siemian would come in because Wilson got banged up. Halftime, 197-4. Passing was 160 to minus 10. It's really all you need to know because Siemian played in the second half. The lead just kept going up. He added another pick, I believe, in there and a fumble. Ball game as the Dolphins win it 30-0. It's really all you need to know. I don't need to go through the details. Wilson ended up 4 of 11 for 26. Siemian, 14 for 26 for 110. Dolphins outgained the Jets 290 to 103. The Jets were minus 4 in turnovers, led to plus 10 Miami points. I'll say the Jets by 3 over Washington. You are not required to watch this NFL game.
3 pretty much everywhere.
Yeah. And I think that's right because the Jets defense will by far be the best unit on the field, even though the Skins' offense can do damage. But Washington's defense, as bad as the Jets' offense is, it's weakness against weakness. I mean, it's take your pick. I mean, I think it should be Jets minus 3 no matter how you slice it up.
Washington going back to Sam Howell. Jets, we don't really know.
Lebatard, Dan Lebatard, next on the DK Network. Kelly and I coming back for more Guessing Lines Week 16. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James. LeBron James.
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly. From Bar Canada at the D, it's Gil Alexander, it's Kelly Bidlin. Got a whole bunch more games to get to here. Guessing Lines Week 16, only 3 games left in the regular season. How did this happen?
It's wild. I know. Every year it sneaks up on you like this.
It's incredible.
Once you hit, like, Thanksgiving, it just goes.
It feels like turbo at that point. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Cleve T.A., who is one of the great NFL follows there is, he was kind enough to be on the Megapod earlier this year. We had him during Brock Purdy Propaganda Week. Mm-hmm. He's got a Brock Purdy ticket as well. He points out, Dak MVP candidacy is unserious at this point. Now has faced two top 14 EPA pass defenses on the road. His EPA and how that game ranked versus all other quarterbacks against those defenses this season. Against Buffalo, yesterday, minus 0.159 expected points. In this one, and that is an EPA that is generous due to garbage time stats in the last 8 minutes, and then versus San Francisco, minus 0.420 EPA. So, by the way, there's 11th of 14 and 14th out of 14 in those situations. And he, I will agree with what he says also, which is, if Brock Purdy has a great game against Baltimore this week, Katie bar the door.
Yeah, probably.
Katie bar the door.
The, I don't even think you need to go right now, at least right now. And I don't even, he could have an opportunity this week to maybe make up for it a little bit. But I think right now you don't even have to say, you don't even have to say Dak against good teams on the road. It's just Dak on the road.
Dak on the road.
I mean, Dak on the road's
we'll,
bad enough.
We'll get to those Cowboy stats, but they're 7-0 at home and 3-4 on the road. Yeah. And like the point differential is unbelievable. I also made the mistake of bringing up that logo trivia question because now that's all anybody wants to talk about. Mantis Toboggan, what about the Browns helmet? He said. Andrew R. Demirs said, Falcons logo resembles the letter F.
Yeah, that's a thing, too.
I mean,
I just Googled all these things.
Does it?
The Eagles and Falcons thing is a thing. Someone created that logo
to look like an E and an F.
With the E and the F in mind, and we were supposed to get that, apparently.
Jesse Welch, I kid you not, though he didn't use the word kid, Kelly. He said, I just deduced the exact same answers as you on the mascot question. Got to be a bird. Gil brought up Monday Night Football going with the Eagles. That was insane. John Balduzzi, yes, he is corroborating what I was saying. Old school Brewers logo is the initials M&B for Milwaukee Brewers. Titans Insider, my buddy for 10 years, could not see the bear of the Minnesota Wild logo until I mentioned it to him. So anyway, there's nothing but logo. Let me do non-logo questions, or tweets, rather. Jeff Levine, hey, guys, if I'm right, the Ravens just have to beat Miami and Pittsburgh at home to be the AFC number one seed. Would you rest the limping offensive tackles and maybe others at San Francisco to get ready for the stretch run? Mitchell injury a killer. I was going to bring this up when we get to Baltimore. The Keaton Mitchell injury yesterday for the Baltimore Ravens, to me, is the most impactful and significant injury of the weekend in the NFL and might, get ready for this comment, might be the difference between the Ravens winning a Super Bowl or getting to a Super Bowl and not. He is their only, besides Lamar, of course, their only reliably explosive player on that offense. They will not have Keaton Mitchell, who got hurt in a non-contact injury yesterday. They will not have him for the rest of the year. That is a massive blow to the Baltimore.
Yeah,
Ravens.
I wish I could push back on that comment a little bit, but I really can't. I'm with you.
It's
I'm with you
100%. Massive for a team that already has tons of injuries.
And what you finally saw last night was, I think, was what a lot of us have been wondering for the past couple of weeks, of why aren't you feeding this guy way more? And you finally start to see that last night, and then he goes out with that injury.
Ray at Wreakin' Havoc, I believe Zach made a career decision. It was not banged up, LOL. However, I have no way of verifying this, LOL, again. And Mike Alvarez, I've done some research over the last 2 weeks. The Raiders are averaging 31.5 points the last two games. Hope you can use this fun fact during guessing lines today. It'll be a 0 and a what was it, a 62, I believe it was? 61? What do they have, 63?
63.
Yeah. 31.5, 63, that's right. All right, what's next?
All right, early window, Packers at Panthers.
Oh, God. Packers, what happened? I thought you were going to be good. You're 6-8 now. Outside looking at Carolina, 2-12. Green Bay loses to Tampa Bay. This game at one point, this was crazy. This was just a score fest. Tampa Bay, McLaughlin, 39-yard field goal, 3-0. Then Green Bay matriculated but stopped on downs, fourth and two at the Tampa Bay 4. Love incomplete intended for Jaden Reed. Two plays later, 2nd and 6 at their own 9. Mayfield was strip sacked in his throwing motion by Kingsley and Agbare, who also recovered the fumble. Two plays later, Love to Tucker Kraft, 7-3. Packers, last minute of the first quarter. But then Tampa Bay, 7 plays, 75 yards. Mayfield to Evans for 19, 10-7 Tampa Bay, 12-21 left second quarter. Carlson, 36-yard field goal to knot it up at 10. Later, McLaughlin will get a 46-yard field goal to have the Bucs up 13-10 at the half. Second half, after a Green Bay 3-and-out, Tampa Bay, 8 plays, 66 yards. Mayfield to Rashad White from 26. 20-10 Bucks, 10:55 left third quarter. Green Bay would answer. 75 yards, 11 plays. Love to Jaden Reed. What a player he's turned out to be. From 17 out on 3rd and 14, tiptoe catch. 20-17 Bucks, 4:18 left third quarter. But from this point forward, oh boy. Tampa Bay, 9 plays, 75 yards. Mayfield to Coquille from 2 out, 27-17 Bucks, 20 seconds left in the third quarter. After a Carlson 33-yard field goal, it got it to 27-20 with 10:04 to go. Tampa Bay right back. 6 plays, 75 yards. Mayfield to David Moore for 52. Rudy Ford slaps the ball out of Moore's, how can I put this, celebratory extended arm at the goal line, but not enough evidence to overturn it. So it's a touchdown, Bucks 34-20 with 6:30 to go. Can you just hold on to the ball 1 second longer? Green Bay would be stopped on downs from there. They'd never see the ball again. That's how it would end. Love, 29 of 39 in defeat for 284, 2 touchdowns, no picks. He was sacked twice. He lost a fumble. They were outgained by Tampa Bay. The Packers were 452-321. And Carolina, we already talked about their win over the Falcons, which just took what could have been a massive weekend for me and made it ho-hum. Bryce, 18 of 24 for 167. No touchdowns, no picks. He was sacked 3 times. And they were plus 2 in turnovers. That led to plus 6 net Carolina points. That's the margin that they would need in beating the Falcons 9-7. I'll say, because of that Atlanta spread at Carolina, which I thought was low, I'm just going to say Green Bay is only going to be a 3-point favorite on the road also.
So this opened, you thought about it smarter than I did, I guess. So this opened like 3.5. It's been ticking up, though, ever since this opened. So like 3.5, most places it opened, it were up to Packers 4.5.
So someone explain to me, was it because of the weather then that Atlanta got to minus 2.5 yesterday?
I know.
It went through the 3. So I guess that last part was weather.
Saturday night, I almost added it to 2.5.
I didn't, because at that point, you're like, okay. Am I reading this wrong? By the way, Atlanta should have covered.
Yes.
But, you know, it's football.
I would say this is the one I am still interested in, but this number, it's flying, and I don't think any surprise there. 4.5, 5's in the market now.
Next.
All right, next up, Browns at Texans.
The 9-5 Brownies and the 8-6 Texans. We already talked about the Texans. Cleveland. Now 5-0 in games this year, decided by 3 points or fewer this season. You got some Stefanski love for Coach of the Year? Cleveland punch, Chicago 3-and-out, Cleveland 3-and-out, Chicago 3-and-out, Cleveland 3-and-out. That's how the game started. Then Chicago 2nd-and-2 at their own 27. Fields with a wide-open Robert Tonyan deep. Dropped it. They'd punt. Then another trade of 3-and-outs. Then Cleveland 2nd-and-8 at their own 11. Flacco picked by Eddie Jackson. Return sets up Chicago 1st-and-goal at the 1. Cleveland would commit 3 penalties, by the way, at that point. P.I. sandwiched in between two different too many men on the field penalties. But then Chicago fall started after Foreman couldn't get in on first down at the doorstep. And 3rd-and-goal, they finally scored. Fields with an escape job. Then he finds Komet in the end zone. 7-0 Chicago finally after all that. 10:54 left in the second quarter. But then Cleveland answered. 84 yards, 12 plays. Flacco to Njoku. What a combo that's ended up being. From 2 out, 7-7 on a drive that featured a Flacco to Cooper 42-yard hookup on 3rd-and-7 and a DTR to Ford 5-yard completion on a 4th-and-2. So we're tied at 7, 3:48 left second quarter. Then Chicago 3-and-out, Cleveland punch. Chicago is choose a 55-yard field goal. They try for a Hail Mary that's incomplete. We're tied at the half, 7 apiece. Third quarter. Wow, that's a lot to get to 7-7. Third quarter after Chicago 3-and-out. Cleveland 1st-and-10 at their own 40. Flacco picked by Tremaine Edmonds off a deflection. 45 to the house. 14-7 Bears. All defense, man, for the Bears. 13:50 left third quarter. After Cleveland out, Santos 41-yard field goal. 17-7 Bears. 7:07 left in the third quarter. Then after a trade of 3-and-outs, Cleveland punts it. Muffed by Trent Taylor, recovered by Muhammad Diabate. Next play, Flacco picked by Tyreek Stevenson. Chicago up 10. Stopped on a 4th-and-1 at the Cleveland 33 when Fields gets tripped up just before the sticks by Cameron Mitchell. That would lead to a Dustin Hopkins 33-yard field goal to cut it to 17-10 Chicago, 12:27 to go. Chicago 3-and-out, Cleveland 3-and-out, Chicago punt. There was so much of that in this game. Cleveland takes over, down 7, 5:18 to go. 6th play of the drive, Flacco to Cooper for 51. We are tied at 17, 3:08 to go. Chicago 3-and-out. Cleveland takes over, their own 21 with 1:50 to go. Flacco to Njoku for 31. to start things. Then on 3rd and 15, 3 plays later, to Njoku again for 34. Hopkins, 34-yard field goal, good. With 32 seconds left, 20-17 Browns. The Bears would get it to the Cleveland 45 with 15 seconds left. Incomplete, and then Hail Mary time. Goes up in the air. Deflects right into the hands of Darnell Mooney on the ground. No idea how he doesn't corral it. Kicks into the hands of De'Anthony Bell. Ball game. And the Browns, the cardiac kids, do it again. 5-0 again in games decided by 3 points or fewer. Flacco, what a shot in the arm despite the picks he has been for this team. 28 of 44 for 374. 2 touchdowns, 3 picks, sacked 4 times. Cooper, 4 for 109 and a touch. Njoku, 10 for 104 and a touch. They outgained the Bears 377 to 236. Houston in their win over Tennessee. Keenum, by the way, 23 of 36 for 229. Singletary, 26 for 121 on the ground. 4 catches for 49. I will say Cleveland is going to be, because I'm expecting C.J. Stroud, so I'll say Houston split the difference between 3 and a pick, -1.5, Houston.
Yeah, we are 2.5 basically everywhere right now in this game.
God, these lines are right on the guesses. Like, this is just not hard to come up with. Something be different. We're looking to extract some value. Week 16, Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hey, want to check out VSiN's betting splits?
Split bet!
But don't have a VSiN Pro subscription yet? No problem. This week only, we're giving everyone access to the betting splits for free. VSiN betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 5 minutes, so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public's betting based on the number of tickets and where the money does not match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Get free access to VSiN's betting splits all this week at VSiN.com/splits. That's /splits. Kelly, say that 3 times fast. That's VSIN.com/splits.
Yeah, I could. I'm one of those people that could not say that 3 times fast.
We get tweets at Beating the Book. Andrew Wren, which pick that was on my millions card was worse, Ritter or Mullins? I'm going to say Ritter. I had Ritter.
Yeah, I had Ritter too. So, yeah, I'm going to go with that one.
This is from Martel J. I was visiting the dispensary during the first hour of the show, still not seeing the E in the Eagles logo. Jason H. 11. Hey, Gilly, does the sushi place have a logo? True. Good morning. Doesn't the Seahawk face left? No, it does not. It faces right.
No. We've gotten to the portion of the tweets where we're basically being used as Google.
It is amazing that we can bring up one ridiculous thing and then the whole thing got sidetracked. John Balduzzi wanted to tweet. He goes, regarding logos, at 3 a.m. on Tuesdays, the Westgate turns the light off on the cross portion of the letter to spell EGA, he says. That's awesome. Good. Bruce Dobigan, the old Montreal Expos logo was supposed to be a stylized M, but insiders will tell you it's actually CB, the initials of Expos owner Charles Bronfman.
Well, that's just cool.
And Kevin Ryan, Gil, the gushing and man love for Lamar by Collinsworth last night was over the top. No doubt he asked for a signature postgame. I agree. Woo, he just couldn't stop with Lamar love.
Yeah. I don't know if I took it as completely over the top, but like it sounded like he had never seen Lamar Jackson play before is more the way I took it.
He was trying to wedge in Tyreek to the MVP discussion still and a whole bunch of other stuff he was trying to do last night.
All right, you ready for the next
one? Yes, sir.
4:05 Eastern on Sunday. Jags at Bucks.
The 8-6 Jaguars, speaking of Kelly Betts, how many times you bet them to win the division before the season?
Like 3 times or something, yes. The outlay I have of money on them to win the division is a large amount for me, Gil. And this is getting a little frisky.
Was it all at -150?
Nah, I got one -160 and a -145, I think, in there as well.
Tied now with both the Texans and the Colts at the top of the AFC South. But the Jaguars have the breaker right now. After the Jacksonville punt, Justin Tucker, 43-yard field goal, 3-0 Baltimore last night. In case you missed this, 6:21 left in the first quarter. McManus then missed a 50-yard field goal try, running into the kicker, not called. Baltimore, 3 and out. McManus then missed a 55-yard field goal try. Baltimore, 2nd and 4 at the Jacksonville 38. Lamar picked by Rayshon Jenkins. 11:37 left in the second quarter. It's still 3-0. Jacksonville 4th and 2 at the Baltimore 43. Lawrence to Ridley for 13, but 6 plays later, 3rd and 17 at the Baltimore 23. Trevor Lawrence runs and just drops the ball untouched. picked up by Arthur Millett of Baltimore, who returned to 21 yards. Still 3-0, Baltimore.
Cool.
Baltimore then goes 13 plays, 60 yards. Lamar to Isaiah Likely from 60 down on second and goal. 10-0, Ravens, 1-12 left second quarter. And then after a 20, and this is sequence here, after a 29-yard Agnew kickoff return, the Jaguars take over at their own 41 with 1:04 left. They're down 10-0, but no timeouts. Second and 11 at the Baltimore 41 with 30 seconds left, Kelly. Lawrence to Zay Jones for 36, down to the 5. Now remember, the clock is running and they have no timeouts. But plenty of time.
Plenty.
To spike it and take a shot in the end zone.
Absolutely. You can spike the ball. You get a chance at the end zone.
But Jacksonville gets into shotgun. Lawrence then goes to Parker Washington in the left flat for a 1-yard gain. Tackled inbounds by Marcus Williams, and the half ends. 10-0 Ravens. Ladies and gentlemen.
Real cool. Real cool, Gil. Real cool.
This is why you can't take this team seriously. And this is why, like, the fumble untouched by Lawrence and that decision at the end of the half, I'm sorry, he's not generational. He's just not. Let us continue. So two missed field goals. Let me just recap. Two missed field goals. That Lawrence fumbled inside the red zone untouched, then botching the clock at the end of the half. Outgaining Baltimore 181 to 166, down 10-0.
I mean, at absolute worst, we're talking this game is, what, 12? They've got 12 points heading into halftime?
It should minimum be 12.
Minimum.
Four field goals. Well, I mean, 55 and 50. So let's split those. Nine, let's say.
See, I first went that way, but there was a missed running into the kicker call.
There was missed. Yes, you're right. But that was on the 50, not the 55, right?
Yeah.
All right, third quarter, Baltimore punt. Jacksonville goes 88 yards, five plays. Lawrence to Agnew from 65 out, 10-7 Baltimore, 7:15 left. Mike Tirico then throws out what I found to be the most fascinating stat of the day. That 65-yard touchdown pass was the longest touchdown pass of Trevor Lawrence's career, and not only the longest touchdown pass, it was the longest pass completion of Trevor Lawrence's career. I spent the next 15 minutes going nuts on this, researching. Trevor Lawrence has thrown over 1,700 NFL passes, regular season and postseason. His previous long was 59.
Wow.
I had no idea.
That jumped out to me, too. It was pretty shocking to me as well.
Wow. All right. So there's that. Baltimore punts. Jacksonville 3-0. Baltimore starts at their own 42. They're only up 3 now. 5-play, 52-yard drive. Keaton Mitchell for 24. Then 2 plays later, Lamar almost decapitated by Dwayne Smoot. Gets away, throws it up. Likely comes down with it over 2 defenders for a 26-yard gain. And 2 plays later, the first play of the fourth quarter, Gus in from 1, 17-7 Baltimore. Play of the game.
That was incredible. That was incredible.
Then Jacksonville 3-and-out. Baltimore would add a Tucker field goal, 20-7, 8 minutes to go. But they'd lose Keaton Mitchell, as we talked about on that drive. Looked like an untouched knee injury. It was. He's out for the season. And I will say it again. It's the biggest, most significant injury of the weekend in the NFL. That, to me, is the difference between the Ravens being a legit Super Bowl champion contender and not. Jacksonville 3rd-and-10 at their own 25. Lawrence sacked by Justin Madubuike. He fumbles it. Patrick Queen recovers. That set up another Tucker field goal, 23-7. Then there was one other play, 2nd-and-10, Lawrence to Ridley back at the end zone. It was ruled incomplete. It was challenged and upheld. Terry McCauley, Terry McCauley's in the booth saying he said it was obvious that it should be a touchdown. It wasn't obvious.
I don't think it was obvious.
What was he talking about?
It was a touchdown. I don't think it was obvious. Yes, he was freaking out.
It might have been a touchdown, but there was nothing obvious about it. Terry McCauley was like, it's the most obvious thing I've ever.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was overboard.
Anyway, that's the final. Lawrence, 25 of 43 for 264. That last fumble, though, again, that's the difference between him and being elite and not. That's his 20th lost fumble, second in this game. Most in the NFL since 2021. And by the way, he entered concussion protocol after the game.
Yeah. A major note from this game I didn't pick up on at the time. That didn't come out till after the game.
It didn't come up till after the game. Tampa Bay in victory, by the way. Mayfield was 22 of 28 for 381 in their win against Green Bay. Perfect passer rating for Baker Mayfield. 158.3 in that game. How about that? Jacksonville -4 at Tampa, assuming Trevor plays, but that's an assumption.
Okay, so this is where things get tricky, and if you've already jumped on this line, good for you. So this opened most places Jacksonville like 2, 2.5. We are pick 'em pretty much everywhere I'm seeing that actually has this game up right now.
Let's throw one in real quick.
Okay, we've got 425 Eastern, Cardinals at Bears.
311 Cardinals, 5-9 Bears. Cardinals scored first against the Niners. 7-play, 75-yard drive. Connor in from 2-7-0 Cardinals. Kyler to Trey McBride for 38, the big one on that drive. But then Purdy and the Niners came back. 8-play, 75 yards. Purdy to Debo for 12, 7-7. And then Arizona's subsequent drive, 4th-and-3 at the San Francisco 42. Kyler picked by Charvarius Ward. 66 to the house, 14-7 Niners. 4:22 left in the first quarter. But Arizona would hang around. Prater 58-yard field goal, 58-yard field goal to make it 14-10. Prater still awesome. Then a Prater 43-yard field goal, 14-13. 6:14 left in the second quarter. San Francisco ensuing drive, McCaffrey's knee and Purdy, the head injury, hurt on consecutive plays. And at that moment, up one with those two injuries, you were like, oh no, this could be the end of the Niners season. But both would return and they'd hook up for a 5-yard touchdown pass as part of a 10-play, 75-yard drive. 21-13 Niners, 1:14 left in the second quarter. Then Ronnie Bell would fumble a punt return that was recovered by Dortch, but Bell was ruled down. So the Niners got a break there to preserve the 8-point lead. And then it was kind of back and forth. It was 28-13, then 28-16. Again, the Cardinals would hang around. Then the Niners would answer to go up 35-16, another 60-yard, 6-play drive. McCaffrey in from 1, 75 yards, 8 plays. Amari DeMarcado from 49 out to cut it to 35-22. But then a 7-play, 75-yard drive for the Niners. Purdy to Debo from 19 out to go back up 42-22. Anyway, bottom line is 45-29 Niners. Were you worried about the Niners' defense in that game, that they just kept giving up points? Or were you like they just weren't engaged?
A little bit of both. I'm going to say a little bit of both. I don't know that matters, though. Like, this
I
is.
Don't I don't know.
Like, the San Francisco, this Niners offense is so good.
It's worth noting, though, right?
It's worth noting, yes.
Fields in the Bears' loss to the Browns was 19-40 for 166. I will say the Bears are 4.5-point favorites hosting the Cardinals.
Yeah, you're right on again. It's yeah. 4.5 pretty everywhere.
These ain't that tough to come up with this week.
Yeah, there's only.
I would like for a shocker to happen.
Me though. Too. Yeah, it wasn't much for me.
Week 16, more coming up. Guessing lines, numbers game, Visa, and the Sports Betting Network. Skill Alexander, it's Kelly Bidlin. We're live from Barcanada, the barrage here at the D in downtown Las Vegas. Went to a Knights game, courtesy of Derek Stevens and Mike Palm, Friday night. Bunch of us went in the circus seats.
Yeah, the nice circus seats right on the glass.
Brent Musburger. In the house. Wow. Derek wasn't feeling well, so Derek didn't go. Brent Musburger was there. Got to sit next to Brent most of the time. Tim Murray from VEASAN Primetime. Femi Abebefe was there as well. Mike Pritchard in the house as well. Mike Palm himself. Amal Shaw.
What a crew.
Banksy was there as well.
Okay.
A good time was had by all, but their seats are just out of control. It's a great way to experience a hockey game from right on the glass behind the goal.
Yeah, I've never done straight on the glass before. I mean, I've only been like probably 5.
Right.
How many hockey games have you been to in your entire life?
Less than 25.
Okay.
Less than 25.
How many Golden Knights games have you been to?
3 or 4.
That's right. I think I'm like 2. I think I'm 2 Golden Knights, and everything else would have been the Florida
Panthers. I went to the Cap Stanley Cup Stanley Cup clincher. That was the most memorable.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's cool.
But anyway, thanks to them for inviting all of us. It was great. Blues crushed them there in the third period, though, 5-2, scoring 4 unanswered. But nonetheless, shout out to the circuit crew.
Yeah, that's awesome.
This exercise of guessing lines is supposed to yield value. There has not been anything that has gotten me excited yet. Week 16.
Yeah.
Got to come up with 5 for millions, man.
We'll keep cruising.
What's next?
4:25 Eastern, Cowboys at Dolphins.
By the way, we get tweets. Robert Smith, Gil, you can still get the Bengals 75-1 to win the wide-open AFC at DraftKings. Would you bet that?
No.
I would not. I understand what you're saying, Robert, but I still wouldn't bet it.
I mean, if you believe in Jake Browning that much, go for it. And I can't really sit here and tell you that Jake Browning's proven to be a horrible quarterback. I can't do that.
Real uniform czar. I know this is not what you asked, but the old Broncos logo faced left too. Oh, that's some old AFL logo he's got there. Scott, New York, Mets 16. Gildies might be hard to see, but the Yankees, Mets, and football Giants were very creative and used the NY as their logos. It's obscure, but the NY represents New York. Oh, he's joking. I get it. David King, if Mitchell's injury...
I was at first so angry about
that
tweet.
I was like, what are you talking about?
I'm so glad that worked out that way.
David King, if Mitchell's injury is the biggest of the weekend, will you adjust Baltimore's number based on that half point, perhaps? Or is that just a... they'll lose a big game without him injury. Do you adjust for any player other than a quarterback or CMC, for instance? It's a great question, David King. I'll tell you what I meant as I was saying it. I wasn't thinking about a point value, though it probably is a half a point or something like that. But I really believe that it's the second thing you were talking about. As I was talking, I think it's a big game where you won't be able to quantify it because he's not there on the field. But think about... He makes one or two big plays every game, if not three, where he's getting chunk yardage that if it's not Lamar doing it and escaping, and how sustainable is that? I don't know who on the Ravens can do that consistently. And Keaton Mitchell was a guy who started on the practice squad. Believe me, I'm very tapped into the Baltimore Ravens practice squad this year, as you may or may not know. So this was a guy that we're just aching to put on the football field, and now that's tough. All right, I'm sorry, Kelly. What did you say it was?
Dolphins, Cowboys to Dolphins.
Great game. The Bully Bowl.
The Bully Bowl. We finally got it.
The 10-4 Cowboys and the 10-4 Dolphins. By the way, that Eagles game tonight is huge. Eagles trying to wrest back the NFC East lead from the Cowboys here. And the Dolphins, of course, trying to get this done. Now, Dak in defeat yesterday. Prescott was 21 of 34 for 134. His passer rating was a mere 57.7. They were outgamed by Buffalo. Dallas was 351 to 195. 266 rushing yards. They gave up 266 rushing yards to the Bills. We were talking about Dallas home road splits. 7-0 at home, straight up. 3-4 on the road. Point differential. Plus 24.4 points a game at home. Minus 0.6 on the road. They did clinch a playoff berth yesterday, though, with Atlanta's loss. So Dallas is in the postseason either way. And Miami and their win over the Jets, hard to tell because it's against the Jets, but Tua, 21 of 24 for 224. The ball only hit the ground three times with him. He didn't throw a pick, one touchdown. Waddle, 8 for 142 in a touch. They outgained the Jets 290 to 103. They were plus 4 in turnovers, as we mentioned, led to plus 10 Miami points. I just said Miami minus 3. I'm assuming Tyreek is back.
Yeah, we are. We're under that. This
really?
Has been it's Dolphins 1.5 pretty much everywhere now. A couple ones out there as well. There was movement early when this first opened yesterday, but nowhere significant. All in between, you know, the one and 2.5.
This might be a play on the Dolphins for me. I'll tell you why. So we just talked about their home road splits, but it really has to do with the track, right? The Cowboys look awfully fast on a fast track like their home stadium. Not so much on the road. We know the Dolphins are fast no matter where they play, no matter what surface in the galaxy they play on. I think Tyreek yesterday wasn't that badly banged up. He had some off-the-field news that came up, by the way, as well, where I think he wanted to, with Hard Knocks, maybe he wanted to slither away for that game.
I mean, there was all the reporting pregame from the guys on the field of like, oh, he's running routes full speed. Like, he's a go. Like, there was multiple Dolphins reporters predicting, and they almost never do this, right? Like, predicting he was playing yesterday, and then, like, 15 minutes later, inactives came down, and he was on.
I'm taking Mike McDaniel over Mike McCarthy here, and I'll tell you what else. Matt Brown did a great job of this when he joins us on Fridays. The Cowboys' defense gets a lot of buzz. They're highly overrated. Micah Parsons is the only one that generates actual pressure. So I kind of lean Dolphins here. That might be my first pick.
Yeah, I'm wondering if Buffalo, I do think, you know, it maybe a little weather affected, but mainly that was a – that offensive game plan that they were going up against Dallas, and we're going to run it right at them over and over again.
Yep.
And Dallas really couldn't do anything about it. You might not have as physical guys on the Miami side, but we know what they love to do in the running game, and they're going to I think they'll test them every which way they can.
What a fascinating game this is.
It really is.
Yeah.
I got nothing here, right, as of right now. I think I'm with you, lean Dolphins a little bit. I can't get there on a bet right
below
now.
Below the three, I'll take the Dolphins.
I got to know on Tyreek first. Like, I have to know on
he'll play.
First. I think he'll play,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, if he doesn't, that changes it. You're right.
Yeah, but he's so important, as we've talked about for weeks now, right? He's so important to this team, I couldn't get there without him.
What's next?
All right, next up, we have Patriots at Broncos. This is your Christmas Eve Sunday night game.
Oh, boy. 3-11 Patriots. 7-7 Broncos. Broncos, you know, they should win this game, right? They should get a leg up again towards the playoffs. New England against Kansas City. It's the one game we haven't talked about. New England after a 3-and-out. Butker missed a 39-yard field goal, his first miss of the year for the Chiefs. Then Chad Ryland returned the favor, missed a 41-yard field goal try. Casey then goes 69 yards, four plays. Mahomes to Edwards-Helaire for 48, the big chunk. Then two plays later, Jerick McKinnon to Rashee Rice from four out on a direct snap. 7-0 Kansas City, 1:30 left first quarter. After the teams trade 3-and-outs, New England goes 61 yards, 10 plays. Zappi to Hunter Henry from 16 out on 4th-and-2. We're tied at 7, 7:09 left in the second quarter. Then first play ensuing drive, Mahomes picked by Marte Mapu. Set up New England first and goal at the 8 of Kansas City, but they have to settle for a Ryland 25-yard field goal. Nonetheless, New England leads 10-7 at this point, 4:47 left in the second quarter. I, by the way, have Kansas City to be the number one seed ticket that I got, not at 10-1 because we didn't have it in town, but at 4-1. And I'm like, come on, you got to win your games here at least. Kansas City obliges, 11 plays, 75 yards. Mahomes to McKinnon from 8 out, 14-10. Chiefs, that would be the score at the half. Then opening drive, third quarter, Kelce drops a would-be touchdown pass from Mahomes. They settle for a Butker 29-yard field goal, 17-10 Kansas City. New England first play, next drive, Zappi, terrible pass, picked by Willie Gay. That sets up Kansas City at the New England 7. Two plays later, Mahomes to Edwards-Helaire from 6 out, 24-10 Chiefs, 9:22 left in third quarter. You're like, okay, well, they're just going to run away with it now. But after a New England punt, Butker did kick a 54-yard field goal to make it 27-10. Later, same score, though. Kansas City cruising at this point. 1st-and-10 at their own 24, 9:20 to go. Mahomes to Kadarius Toney. The ball pops up in the air. Just bounces off of him into the air. Picked by Jelani Tavai. Two plays later, Kevin Harrison from 18. And all of a sudden, it's a 10-point game again with 8:24 to go. Kadarius Toney is just having a time.
That's incredible.
Then Kansas City punts New England. Gets the ball back down 10, but they're deep in their own territory, and they go 4-and-out. And this is the comical part of the game. Kansas City's up 27-17. They're set up at the New England 7. They'd go 4-and-out themselves, not really trying to score so much. New England gets the ball with only 35 seconds to go, and they would just sort of run out the clock with a run, too.
Right.
It was like, oh, Kansas City covers. There you go. Zappi, 23 of 31 in defeat for 180. Wilson, by the way, was 18 of 32 for the Broncos for 223 in defeat. I'll say Denver minus 4.5. I'll use 4.5 again here.
This is Broncos 6. We are up to 6.5 at Circa.
Am I gonna play the Patriots? Is that what's about to happen?
I wouldn't yet. I think this only goes one way.
I think you're right. Maybe a second play. Coming back, more guessing lines. Numbers Game, Visa, and the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
College bowl season is here, and VSiN has an early Christmas present for you. Not a VSiN Pro subscriber yet? No problem. We're giving away this year's college bowl betting guide to everybody. We got spreads, totals, and expert picks from the Golics, Steve Mackinnon and Brent Musburger for every single bowl game. Put a bow on this bowl season. Get a free copy of our VSiN College Football Bowl Betting Guide absolutely free. Visit VSiN.com/bowl guide and get your free copy today. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin. We'll have Futak on tomorrow to talk college bowls. See if we can generate some picks from him as well. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Just want to read these last couple here. This is from Vegas Vice. He is showing us, I don't know where this book is, but Brock Purdy as high as minus 260 to win MVP in some spots.
Wow. Okay.
Judd O'Connor, how typical for a running back on the Ravens to start looking great and have a season-ending injury? The franchise's curse might be from the ghosts of Ray Lewis's past. Yeah, man, that's tough. It is really tough. Mike Alvarez, the iHeart app was acting up, so the audio was choppy. Did you call the Dallas versus Miami game the Bully Bowl? Is it bowl season after all? Curious to see what happens when two bullies fight. I did call it the Bully Bowl. The Bully Bowl.
It really is.
By the way, if you lose the Bully Bowl, you are really the bully, right? If you lose the Bully Bowl.
Oh, wow. Good call. Yes. I mean,
the
really,
loser's the bully.
It's two bullies meet.
Yeah.
One semi-real team leaves, and one completely fraudulent team leaves.
Right. Okay. Well, the connotation of the bully sort of would extend further to the team that
loses,
right?
They bullied to get their way to this point.
Yes.
And now it's decide if one of these is real or not.
Oh, so this becomes a legit thing.
Yeah, this is like a championship, though.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, this is a championship of the bullies.
Okay.
All right, you ready for Christmas Day games?
Glad we didn't settle that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
We got three of them.
Okay,
Christmas morning on the West Coast, 1 Eastern time, Raiders at Chiefs.
What says Christmas more than a rivalry like this? Raiders, Antonio Pierce doing things. They're 6-8. They're still alive. Kansas City 9-5. Power ranking is going to be interesting tomorrow because even in victory, like, I don't feel like the Chiefs are, like, where would you power rank the Chiefs right now among AFC teams just in their conference? And yet, they could still be the number one seed.
Absolutely.
They're 9-5. Mahomes, by the way, in victory, 27 of 37 for 305. You see Taylor Swift getting mad at the lack of a flag when Travis Kelce got knocked down in the end zone?
Yes.
Listen, if I know this about Taylor Swift, if I know one thing about her, she knows about PIs in the end zone.
There you go. Yeah. She knows as much about it as much as the rest of us, I'm sure. I don't know anything.
Chiefs minus 7.5.
Chiefs minus 7.5, man. You surprised me with that one that quick. Okay, we are.
Ooh, I'm low.
Yeah, you are low. This is Kansas City. Right now, 10.5.
Oh, man, am I going to have to play the Raiders, too?
10.5. Only one 10.
10 and a hook?
Yeah, there's one 10.5 out there. But mostly 10s.
I like the Dolphins, Pats, and Raiders so far the best. These last three games.
Exciting.
That's a lot of points, isn't it, for a Chiefs team that just doesn't look that great on offense?
It totally is. It totally is, but I don't. I guess if I was in your mindset, I'm a little surprised you'd be willing to lay a lot on the road against New England last week, but then not here, or not even not here, go the other way here.
I think the Patriots are awful, god awful, and I think the Raiders are actually kind of credible
have
at this
pulse.
Point.
Yeah.
Have a pulse. Okay. Maybe.
I mean, I agree with the Patriots.
I mean, I'm with you, though. Am I racing to bet either? No, I'll wait and see if it goes up. This one, I have a feeling, comes down a little. All right.
Yeah. I think you're probably right. I think it gets below that, too.
Yeah. Next.
I don't think they want to put it in teaser range, but all right. Monday, 4:30 Eastern, Giants at Eagles.
5-9 Giants, 10-3 Eagles. Again, Eagles sight unseen. They're pending tonight's game. Again, tonight's game, we don't know if it's Geno Smith or Drew Lock. We don't know if it's Jalen Hurts for the Eagles. Tommy DeVito in defeat against the Saints yesterday, 20 of 34. He was sacked 7 times. You see the Saints defenders when they would sack him, they'd do the thing with their hand.
I actually didn't catch that. No. We were on the air. I didn't catch that. That's pretty good.
I said Philly minus 10.5, but who knows? They haven't played tonight.
Yeah, you're right on there. That is 10.5 painted.
That sounds right. All right. And then
all right, the big one.
Game of the year.
Christmas night, 8:15 Eastern. Ravens at the 49ers.
Remember this, because when you're in Survivor, you have to remember what the Christmas games are. So of the 10 remaining Survivor entrants, it's going to be fascinating to see what they have left. Joe Pita is going to talk to us about that tomorrow. He's done all the analysis of what these remaining entries have left. How many saved the Chiefs? How many saved the Niners here? But Baltimore's 11-3. San Francisco's 11-3.
Wait, so was the Black Friday game a part of the...
Yes.
Thanksgiving window?
There were four games for Thanksgiving.
So this is tougher.
This is
in theory.
Fewer games.
Yeah, fewer games.
Lamar yesterday in victory, 14 of 24 for 171, 12 carries for 97. And San Francisco clinches the NFC West with their win over Arizona. They've won six straight, all by double digits. Purdy was 16 of 25 for 242. He had a 135.3 passer rating, 4 touchdowns, no picks. He was not sacked. By the way, would you like to hear Brock Purdy's passer ratings the last several stretch of games? I'm sure you would.
What you got?
This is at a 158.3. This is going backwards. 135.3, 122.1, 148.8. He did have one bad, 186.7. Then perfect, 158.3 and 148.9. Earlier in the year, he also had a 144.4 and a 134.6. Pretty, pretty good.
Do you have any Puka Nacua stats you can read off for me?
Yes. Glad you asked. If Puka Nacua averages 5.5 catches a game for the last three and 104 yards receiving a game, he will set both the rookie record for receptions and yards, receiving yards.
Yeah, hey, Drew Dinsick, do you have any Mike Tomlin positive stats that you'd like to get out one or two more times? Okay.
You notice that I didn't do a Puka Nacua propaganda week, that I just kept it to Brock Purdy.
Yeah.
What do you think, by the way, right now? All those favorites that I gave earlier, should I repeat them?
Yeah, I agree with you. I think we settled on the two.
That Dan Campbell at 2-1 for Coach of the Year and Hamlin at -700 for Comeback Player of the Year are the numbers that are probably the shakiest of all the favorites. The only way Stroud doesn't win Offensive Rookie of the Year is if he doesn't show up for the next three or has three, some combo of not showing up and being horrible like he was against, was it the Jets 2 weeks ago? Where he was just horrible.
I do believe.
And then Nacua got both records. But right. that's the only way. So he's appropriately the favorite, Stroud. I don't know if Micah Parsons, quite frankly, is appropriately the favorite.
I've been hearing a couple people talking about that, too. I think it's fair. I'm not running to make a bet there, but I understand.
By the way, San Francisco -4.5 is the guess.
Oh, yeah, I'm glad you brought that back before we forgot again. We are up to 5.5 in this game now, pretty much everywhere. 5 at DraftKings, 5.5 everywhere else.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to put a bet in today on the over in this game. Going back to our conversation.
What's the total?
About the Niners defense. Total right now, 45.5, 46 is what you're going to find.
I
don't know that I'm that high on Baltimore's defense either right now. I mean, a lot of those Jaguars problems were self-inflicted yesterday.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Baltimore is just as solid as you think they are. It would surprise no one for them to just lay an egg in a playoff game.
Not at all. Actually, you know what I'll probably do here? I'll probably go San Francisco, just team total over. That's what I think I'm going to do.
Tell me right now, who is the AFC champion? When all is said and done, who's the team that somehow gets through what one tweeter earlier called
it's
wide open AFC?
I mean, I feel like it's been the sexy pick the past few weeks, but me and you really haven't changed our minds on it. I think the Buffalo Bills are going to go and win the damn thing.
They got to get in first.
I know.
Still on the outside looking in. But I listen, we've said it longer. Now everybody's saying, oh, they're the team you don't want to play. We've been saying it for a while.
Yeah.
They are the sneaky, freaky brother sneaking in from the rear. They're the team you don't want to play.
And don't count out Kansas City either. Like, that is, like, I am not counting out Patrick Mahomes, who's the greatest quarterback I've ever seen play with my two eyes.
But don't you feel about the Chiefs that they feel more vulnerable this year than they have in almost every year, perhaps, but one in the Mahomes era?
While I say yes to that, yes, that is true. I also, this running game and defense are about as good as I can ever remember Patrick Mahomes having, assuming Isaiah Pacheco gets back here.
Let me just go one by one. Your quick reaction, yes or no, can they win the AFC?
Okay.
Ravens.
Yeah.
Could they also lose?
Yeah.
Dolphins, can they win it?
No.
No. Chiefs.
Yes.
But you could see them losing too. I agree. Jaguars.
No.
No, I don't either. Browns.
No.
No, I don't either. Do I even, Bills.
Bengals, no. Colts, no. Texans, no.
Bills, yes.
Yes.
If they can get in, Bills, yes.
So we said
Ravens, Chiefs, Bills. After all that, just Ravens, Chiefs, Bills. And the Bills seem the least vulnerable currently.
Yeah.
Power ranking is going to be interesting tomorrow. I still think the Ravens are the most complete, but that Keaton Mitchell injury, boy. That hurts.
I'm with you. I am with you on that. Like, it might not mean anything to the point spread, like you said with that tweet, but
It's massive. Best Bets is next. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential.
We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.